your Bibles, if they're not, turn to John 15. And turn to John 15 if you'll be using your Bible. We'll be spending the majority of our time in the first 8 verses of John chapter 15 in our study tonight. Certainly we appreciate the presence of all. Encourage each of us as we continue our worship to God to listen carefully to what His Word teaches. Our effort is to try to understand, and it's something that certainly we can understand and then put into practice in our lives. What I want to do tonight is just to look at these first 8 verses. Jesus uses a physical example to illustrate spiritual lessons, and there are several things that I want to bring to our memory. I believe probably would be the case with most of us as we study these verses tonight. The first thing that I want us to see, and the first thing that we see as we look at verse 1, is the fact that there is one true vine. Jesus says, and He's talking to His disciples, He says to them, "I am the true vine, and My Father is the vine dresser." And you know, I want to take the time to say this. Jesus does not say, "I am one of a few true vines." He doesn't say, "I am one of many true vines." He says, "I am the true vine." I think we understand that. The world as a whole fails to understand that. That Jesus, He is the true vine. And what to me that indicates is the fact that if He is the true vine, then there are false vines. There are people who claim to be true vines and yet they are not. They are false vines. He is the one and the only true vine. Now let's just think for a minute from a physical standpoint. When you think about a vine and what that vine does in relationship to the branches, the vine provides nourishment. The vine provides life to the branches. And the only way that those branches can receive the nourishment and can receive the life that they need is from the vine. And Jesus is the only source of life, spiritually speaking, for His people. For any people, Jesus is the only source of life for the branches. Now that idea is suggested in other places in the book of John. In John chapter 11, in verse 25, Jesus, as He's talking to the sister of Lazarus after Lazarus had died, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus is the life. And He goes on and He tells her that though a person dies, he may live forever. He will never die. That is, spiritually speaking. In the 14th chapter of the book of John, as Jesus in this context or this section is talking to His disciples, He says to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am that life." And He goes on and He says, "No one comes to the Father except through Me." And so, the first thing that Jesus declares is the fact that He is the true vine. And He goes on there in verse 1 and He points out that God, His Father, is the vine dresser. That is, He provides and cares for the vine. As you look at verse 2, what we learn is one of the things we learn is the fact that every branch is required to bear fruit. Verse 2 says, "Every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bear fruits, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Now to me, that's a sobering thought. And this is not the only place that we're told that we're to bear fruit as children of God. But Jesus, as he talks to his disciples, he lets them know that every branch is required to bear fruit. And if a branch doesn't bear fruit, what Jesus says is that God takes it away. But every branch that bears fruit, God prunes to enable it to bear more fruit. And we understand that in a physical sense. I'm not much of a gardener. Melinda does most of, I shouldn't say most of that. Melinda does whatever's done in that regard around the house. But I do know that if you want something to continue to blossom and grow, there's a certain time of the year that you prune it. And as you prune it, it doesn't destroy it if you do it right. What it does is it makes it ready to blossom and bloom again. That's the way. And let me read verse 3 in connection with this. Jesus says to his disciples, "You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Rhett just led the song, "I am the vine, you are the branches." The very second verse says, "Now you are clean through words I have spoken, living in me." The Word of God is what prunes us. It's what makes us clean. It's what prepares us to bear fruit and to grow ourselves and to help bear more and more and more fruit. But the truth is that we are required to bear fruit. I'm thinking, and I'm going to just mention a couple of verses in Matthew chapter 25 concerning the parable of the talents. And we're aware of the parable of the talents. There was a man given five, a man given two, and a man given one. Verse 15 says that they were given these talents according to each own ability. Let me just read. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his own ability. And so people were given in this story talents, but they were given those talents, different talents, according to their ability. That is, based on what they could handle, what they could do. And we read and remember as we read about that parable that the five-talent man, he went out and he gained five other talents. The two-talent man went out and he gained two other talents. The one-talent man, the Bible says he was afraid. He said he was afraid. He hid his talent. The master was not pleased with the one-talent man. Not because he had one talent, but because he failed to use. He failed to bear fruit based on the talent that he had. And when you come to verse 29 in that chapter, Matthew 25, what Jesus says is, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." And so what that says is this, whoever we are, the Lord requires us to bear spiritual fruit based on our ability. It always interests me as I read that there was no zero talent man. There was a one talent man, a two talent man, and a five talent man. And I take it I'm one of those. And you're one of those. I may be a one-talent man, but the Lord expects me to use the talent that I have in His kingdom so that fruit can be born. And as Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 15, one of the things that He is teaching is the fact that every branch is required to bear fruit. And we're going to see in just a few minutes, He says something else along that line. I'm required, you're required. That's what God expects of us. And it's something that we can do. When you come to verses 4 and 5, what we learn in verses 4 and 5 is that one must abide in the vine to bear fruit. Verses 4 and 5 read, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And so a third lesson that we can derive from the teaching here of Jesus in verses 4 and 5 is the fact that in order for us to bear fruit, of which we are required, we must abide in the vine in order to bear that fruit. Several things come to my mind. One is that we cannot bear fruit, spiritually speaking, of ourselves. I can't come up with a way, whether it be something that I think is fantastic, good, appealing, of myself. I cannot bear any fruit. I can't figure that out somehow on my own. And so what Jesus is teaching is the fact that we are dependent on Him if we're going to bear fruit. One other thing that Jesus says here is that the only way that Christ abides in us is when we abide in Him. For Christ to abide in me, Jesus says that I have to abide in Him. He's done His, it begins with me. I must abide in Him. And when I abide in Him, then He abides in me. And therein lies my responsibility. When there's a disconnect between me and Christ, or me and God, then the problem is with me. It's not with God. It's not with Jesus Christ. If I want them to abide in me, or if I want Christ to abide in me, I must abide in Christ. And Jesus, His point is this, just as a branch cannot survive, it cannot live, it cannot bear fruit apart from the vine. You separate the branch from the vine, and the branch dies. We understand that. And that's the lesson Jesus is teaching, spiritually speaking. When we separate ourselves from Christ, then we cannot live. We die spiritually. It's impossible to bear fruit outside of Christ. I think of what is stated in 2 John verse 9, where John says, whoever transgresseth and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. There's the idea of abiding in. Here is the doctrine of Christ. What John says is, if we go beyond, if we fail to abide in the doctrine of Christ, then we don't have God. We separated ourselves from God. That's why it is so important that we do what God's Word teaches, that we have authority for what God's Word teaches. Because if we transgress, if we go beyond, if we fail to abide in the doctrine of Christ, we don't have God. And I think we understand, but I want to emphasize the fact, that's no small thing. If I'm not abiding in the doctrine of Christ, I don't have God. If I don't have God, I'm lost. And I want to make sure that whatever I am doing as an individual, whatever the church is doing collectively, that I am doing and the church that I'm a part of collectively is doing what is in the doctrine of Christ. Because if it's not in the doctrine of Christ, then I do not have God. But if we abide in the doctrine of Christ, we have both the Father and the Son. Verse 6 teaches us that the branch that does not abide in the vine is cut off. Verse 6 says, if anyone, I believe, if I was listening, and I think what the translation of which Barry was reading says, if he does not abide. But the idea is he's talking about individuals here, and I'm going to say more about that in just a minute. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. A branch that is not abiding in the vine, Jesus said earlier that he's cut off. Here he says in verse 6, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather those branches and they throw them into the fire. Spiritually speaking, a branch not abiding in Christ is going to be cast into the fire. And if he continues not to abide in the vine, he's going to be cast into fire eternal. Now let's just raise the question, and perhaps we could have done this earlier, but who are the branches? Here where Jesus is talking about the vine and he's talking about the branches. Who are the branches? Well, I'll tell you what some people say. Some people say that the branches are different denominations. And the idea that some people would hold would be that, you see here, Jesus, he is the vine, and these different denominations are different branches, but we're all in the vine. Well, I don't believe that's what that's teaching at all. First of all, he's not teaching about groups. What Jesus is teaching, he's teaching concerning individuals. He's speaking about individuals. We've already said, if you follow back, go back to chapter 14, and Jesus is with his disciples. And in chapter 14, Jesus is talking about being the way, and Thomas is there. And Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you're going, verse 5, and how can we know the way? And Jesus tells them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he continues. Here he's talking to his disciples. He's telling these individuals what you are to do, what your relationship is to me as the Savior, as Christ. And so the branches that Jesus is talking about here, he's talking about individuals. Jesus says again there in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me. Verse 2, he says that it may learn. He uses the word it in verse 2. Verse 4, itself cannot bear fruit of itself. And he uses the word it again. Verse 5, he. Verse 6, anyone. Verse 6 again, he. He's talking to individuals. Jesus is the vine, and we as individuals are the branches of that vine. And Jesus is saying, here is your responsibility. You are my disciples. Here is your responsibility in following me, in abiding in me. And he's saying it's individuals that are required to bear fruit. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out of branches with it, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. What that says is this. It's possible for a branch, that is a person, to be attached to the vine. And it's possible for that branch, that individual, to be separated, to be cut off from that vine, to lose our salvation. If we don't abide in the vine, then we're cut off. And that idea, this is not an idea that is simply taught. Here, that idea can be found throughout the New Testament. We've been studying from the book of Revelation. We're getting close to the end of our study. But in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." As you look at that verse, the person who overcomes, his name will not be blotted from the book of life. And I think what we can understand from that teaching is this: what about a person who does not overcome? A person who does not overcome, what John is saying, or what is being taught here, is his name will be blotted out of the book of life. And Jesus is teaching his disciples in John chapter 15 that as a branch of mine, if you fail to abide in me, then you'll be cut off. You'll be cast into the fire. Verse 7, what we learn is the fact that God provides for His own. Verse 7 says, Jesus is speaking, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. God cares. He provides for His own. Now, that's not teaching that I should just ask any and everything and expect God to give it to me. I know that Jesus is not teaching that from some things that are taught in the book of James. In the book of James, in chapter 1, in verse 5, James says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." As I ask of God whatever it is that I desire, one thing that I'm to do is I'm to ask in faith. If you continue in the book of James and you go to the fourth chapter, in verse 3, James says that to some, he says, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." They were asking amiss. What was amiss? Well, what they were asking for is they were asking for things that would fulfill their desires, their lusts, their pleasures. And so as we ask of God, we do so understanding, if we're abiding in Christ, that He will answer our prayers. He will do for us what we need done for us. And we ask in faith. And we ask not from a selfish standpoint. Not just whatever I desire from a pleasure standpoint or to fulfill my lust. But we ask so that we can do and fulfill our role, be what we ought to be with God's help. As He answers our prayers, or as we ask, we're asking God, "You give us those things that will help us in serving You." And then when you come to verse 8, what Jesus teaches is really what it's all about. And that is, our efforts are to glorify God. Verse 8, He says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." The way we live our lives either brings glory or it brings shame to God. When I say that I am a Christian, that is, I am a disciple of Christ, a learner of Christ, a follower of Christ, when I abide in His Word, when I follow Him, and I bear fruit, And Jesus goes on and he talks about bearing much fruit. As a result of doing that, what happens is God is glorified. And when we do that, we're doing exactly what Jesus Christ did when he came to this earth. He came to this earth to do the Father's will, to do his work. And God was glorified as a result of the work that Jesus did on behalf of his Father. And as disciples of Christ, when we follow him, when we abide in his work, people know that we are disciples of Christ. And as a result, God is glorified. And again, that's exactly what we are trying to accomplish. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, as he began the sermon that covers chapters 5, 6, and 7, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Jesus is the true vine, the only vine. We must abide in him. As we do, we will bear fruit. That is required of us. We will bear much fruit. But we can separate ourselves from Christ. When we fail to abide in his word, we separate ourselves. We're cut off. And unless we repent, we'll be cast into the fire. But know that God provides for his people. He gives them the things that they need. And we're taught to ask. Ask in faith. Don't ask just for selfish things or pleasurable things. Ask for things that will help us in serving God faithfully. And when we serve him faithfully and we bear much fruit and we abide in him, then God is the one who is glorified. Probably nothing that I've said you don't know. But obviously, we have the words of God given for us. We need to be reminded of our responsibilities and the fact that there is one true vine, and I am to abide in him. That is, have authority for all that I do. Whatever I do must be found in the doctrine of Christ. And when I do that, then the Lord will be pleased with me. And when we do that collectively, the Lord will be pleased with us. And God will be glorified. We're going to sing the song that has been announced.